Greetings in Christ Jesus our Lord. Overcomers.ca. The Epistle Mysteries, Chapter 24. The Mystery of Christ, Kept by His Gaze. Scriptures. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about at the breasts with a golden girdle. And I saw his head and his hair were white as white wool, white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Revelation 1:12-14. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing against myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Wherefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall each man have his praise from God. 1 Corinthians 4:3-5, American Standard Version. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple. And my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion. Round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows, and scattered them, and he shot them out, lightnings, and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. Psalm 18:3-20. Let not any one deceive you in any manner. Because if the falling away may not come first, and the Son of Man and the man of sin be revealed, the son of destruction, who is opposing and raising himself up above all called God or worshipped, so that he in the sanctuary of God as God has sat down, showing himself that he is God, the day doth not come. Do ye not remember that being yet with you, these things I said to you? And now what is keeping down you have known, for his being revealed in his own time, for the secret of lawlessness doth already work, only he who is keeping down now will hinder, till he may be taken out of the way. And then shall be revealed the lawless one, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the manifestation of his presence, him whose presence is according to the workings of the adversary, in all power and signs and lying wonders, and in all deceitfulness of the unrighteousness in those perishing, because the love of the truth they did not receive for their being saved, and because of this God shall send them a working of delusion for their believing the lie, that they may be judged, all who did not believe the truth, but were well pleased in the unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3-12, Young's Literal Translation. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour thy judgment is come." Revelation 18:10. And scriptures. Three visions. First vision. The Lord descended from heaven at the time of his coming. I saw that he was covered in thick darkness of billowing clouds. The light of his countenance was hidden from the entire breadth of the earth, even as he descended. His face was bright with the glory of his person and shone with the brilliance of many suns. Yet no one upon the earth was able to see his face because of the thick dark clouds that surrounded the Lord Jesus Christ as he came. However, at the same time at his coming upon the earth, I saw the individual overcomers standing, each one in their place, some having been raised from the dead, others alive and remaining as he came. Each one who was an overcomer had the same bright, brilliant complexion upon their faces, as did Jesus, who was now descending to the earth in the promised coming of the Lord. The overcomers were filled with joy and had no fear or harm upon them at all, but were rejoicing greatly, for the time of his coming had arrived, and they were found complete in him when he came. Yet the world of men around them was consumed by his coming, for Jesus gazed upon the earth as he came through his eyes, which were as a flame of fire. The overcomers rejoiced in being found in his eyesight, but the world of men suffered great loss, because all that man had built and all that man had held up as supporting their fleshly life in the world ignited on fire and was totally consumed. I saw every city and every place that man had built come into this ignition and was completely consumed and destroyed by the eyesight of him who now descended as Lord over all that was in the world of men. I saw entire nations then run to the rocks and to the mountains, and they cried unto the rocks and to the mountains, and said unto the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Revelation 6, verses 6 and 17, 16 and 17. However, there was no place found that could hide men from his gaze at the very time of his coming. And first vision. Second vision, starting with a scripture. Ezekiel 8, 2-4 says, "Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward, fire, and from his loins even upward, as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of a hand, and took me by a lock of mine head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw on the plain." Second vision then, "Being then in the Spirit, I beheld upon the paved work a fire enfolding in upon itself with great waves and billows, yet the fire did not consume in upon itself, but was completely able to be permanent and perfect in its ability to burn and to consume. The fire folded in upon itself, and I gazed into the midst of the fire and saw a throne set, and one who sat upon the throne, even the Ancient of Days. He from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away, and no place was found for them. The angel which was with me and was supporting me then approached under the throne and took a little book written on both sides of its pages and sealed up for the day we have now entered, out of the hand of he who sat upon the throne. The angel then came back and handed me the book, which I took and held to my heart. Then the Ancient of Days spoke and said, "Bear not the book to your heart, but eat it." So I ate the book, and it was difficult for me to eat, and it made my belly very sore with the weight of this book. This book was filled with judgment and wrath and woe. Then the Lord said for me to go out and to prophesy even unto the nations. So I went out from before him who sat upon the throne after I had thus ingested the little book. End second vision. Third vision. I beheld a huge structure made by man which refined oil found in the earth. As the Lord gazed upon this structure, it ignited into a great fire, becoming totally consumed by this fire, and no man could battle the fire or put it out. The fire greatly polluted the earth, but nothing could be done to stop its destruction, as the Lord did gaze upon it and did consume it with the brightness of his fiery eyes. End third vision, end three visions. Continuing on in our study on the mystery of Christ, we have now come to the sixth part in which we will see the present state of the Lord Jesus Christ as he looks upon us and as he was revealed in us, the us being they who have obeyed the Lord and have come into the overcoming walk. In the very next few weeks and months, you will be able to see in the earth motions of the Spirit of the Lord in judgment and in wrath against two areas. First, there will be judgment against the systems of man, which man has built and which man maintains in pride of ownership. There's going to be failures of this system, and great problems arise, which will cause men to suffer loss as to how the systems are set up. I speak of systems such as the transportation industry, the food industry, the medical industry, the legal industry, and a myriad of other industries which the Lord is now going to shake. As I started in the beginning of this paragraph, you will see this happen in the next few weeks and months. The shaking of these systems will become unsolvable. Man will fail to find an answer to the problems which will arise, and people and little ones who are in the world of men will be hurt because of this. However, it is not that the Lord wants to hurt people. It is that he's beginning now to remove the rule of man from the earth to prepare it and to cleanse it so that his rule may replace it. The second area in which you will see the motions of the Spirit of the Lord moving in judgment will be the very strong and very prominent in the kingdom-building systems of man. By kingdom-building, I do not mean those who are monarchs, but those who build up by religious zeal the kingdoms of their own anointing and of their own ability to promote faith, albeit outside the true, one singular faith the Lord requires of his people. In the very next few weeks and months, you will see the systems of these kingdom-building efforts begin to shake and be exposed. The leadership of these systems will be brought out into the open, and their hearts will be exposed for anything that was fraudulent or crooked in their doctrines and in their efforts to make a name for themselves in their personal kingdom-building efforts. The reason the Lord is going to do this is so that man may know that the Word of God will not return to him void, and that he is now drawing to a close those who would promote or gain wealth by the preaching of a false gospel. The Lord is literally going to expose before the eyes of men these systems and the corruption that has been found within them by his gaze, so that these systems can collapse and become empty coffins filled with dust. And remember, dear reader of these lines, this is going to begin to take place in the next few weeks and months, and you will know that the Lord is the one doing the shaking. It is a shaking that will be as never before. The thinking of the overcomer during this time cannot change. Their minds must remain the same, with the same attitude. They must continue to bear their cross daily. The command to take up your personal cross and bear it daily has not diminished, but rather it will also in the next few weeks and months increase. For the Lord is now going to move into the finer details of the overcomer's life, and he's going to bring them to a new place wherein they will have to, in themselves, conquer the raging beast. If you are claiming to be an overcomer, dear reader, and you have not continued to or are willing to bear your cross, even until the coming of Jesus, then you will not be able to survive this tumult and upheaval that the Lord is now going to bring to this world, including your personal world, dear overcomer. The Lord is going to work in your life, dear overcomer, in such a way as to see that great whore sitting upon your heart, even the scarlet-colored beast that is in you, your own personal mystery of iniquity. What is going to happen is this. The Lord is going to gain ground in you. In this gaining of ground, you will have greater understanding, greater anointing, and a greater ability to obey the Lord and to know His perfect will. Coupled with this, however, will be the revelation of the beast of Revelation chapter 13 and the whore of Revelation 17 residing in you. That beast which would cause you to hate your own life and to see your own life as worthless and as a life that is completely vain and ugly. The Lord is reducing each member of the overcoming company to view this beast in themselves so that they can face it, kill it, and conquer it, and put it out of their lives. Now, for a time, we are told that the beast wars against the saints and overcomes them and kills them as it rises up to receive worship from the inhabitants of the world. But this is now going to change for they who overcome. What the Lord requires is a simple thing, something more finite than it has ever been before, and that is that Christ, the risen Lord, requires even harder, a singular gaze fixated only upon His glorious person. No sideways glances, not even for a moment. This gaze is going to confirm something to you. It will reveal to you the Father. For when you see Jesus in His glorified state, you will see the Father. And an overcomer is defined as one who knows their Father and who have been marked by Father. Oh yes, the mark of the Father is upon you, but you are walking as if you do not know it. You are walking in ignorance of the Father. You are walking as if you have never known or seen the Father. How can I say that? Because you look sideways at others or at other things. Those who have been marked by Father and who love Father look only unto the Father. Those who forget that God is their Father and those who see Jesus have seen the Father look sideways all the time. They look about to see if this one or that one is anointed or called or is a ministry they must have in their lives so they can succeed in their personal walk with the Lord. Know this, dear overcomer. Ministry is not going to bring you perfection. And the seeking out of ministry and the proclamation of your adherence to ministry will only make you lose the race. The prize of the high calling of God in your life will never be realized if you are seeking ministry to fill the gap in the gaps for you. The Lord alone is jealous to be your all in all in you. He alone has all that you need to be found perfect in Him at His coming. I say unto you, dear readers of this page, and I say this prophetically, that if you are not adhering to your daily personal cross, you will suffer loss when these next shakings in the next few weeks and months begin. You will suffer loss as the rest of the world would suffer loss. For nothing of this present world will be permitted to enter into the age that is dawning. All that you see when you drive about in your car or when you walk about on your streets, all of that will fall away. None of it is fit for the millennial age of Christ's rule over the world of men. If your hope is in any of that, then you will suffer not just that loss, but the loss of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. You will not overcome, you will not know that you were marked by Father, and you will refuse to believe that Father marked you. Instead, you will bear a dual mark. You will bear the mark of Father, but you will also bear the mark of the beast in a continuance, not in a deliverance. For the beast that is in your very heart would convince you that you are not worthy of the prize of the high calling, but would say unto you that you have fallen short, so short that even the Lord cannot help you, because the Lord has also become your enemy. Those things are lies. They are not based on the love of the Father, the love that the Father has for you, and hence his mark. We have come to the crunch time. I care not if your journey has been long, or if your journey has been fraught with tempest and temptation. It will all count for nothing if you do not pass this very next test in front of you. And that test is the endurance of his gaze as he looks upon you during his coming. Now we are told that he will work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, and that he which has begun a good work in you will work it and complete it until the day of his appearing. So what is this loss I speak of? The loss, simply put, is not understanding your present beautiful and loving condition before the Lord, that he accepts you in the Beloved. He accepts you. And you are personally are his precious child. It is that bestial thing in you, that carnality which would work to rob you of this. So not only in this time we are in going to see the shakings happen in the world of men, but is going to rock your world by stoning that beast in you, if you let it happen. For the word of God is also clear that you can suffer loss if you give ground to that which is outside of his will for you. In this case, the raging of your own carnal nature, the beast. And that loss can come to any one of his children who do not understand that Father loves them and marks them and has his favor upon them continually. Let fall away from you anyone and anything that the Holy Spirit does not put in front of you. Do not seek to the left or to the right for anything at all, but instead just be. Be one in front of the Lord alone. Do not respond to or react to anything that is not filled with the fruits of his nature, which fruits come by the tree of life in your very soul, sprouting forth those fruits in a continuance by the life force of the Father in you. There are far too many distractions to name, but know that each distraction becomes the power of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, powered by the beast in you, if you allow these distractions to distract you. If you can but see that the distractions are not from the Holy Spirit and the tree of life in your soul, then you will not look at them, regard them, give place to them, or condition your life around them. Instead, you will simply abide in the love of your Father, knowing that you are his little child, one who in simplicity enjoys Christ's kingdom reign. This simple faith and joy in the Lord is what pleases the Lord the most. It is his life that overtakes you, and there would then be no further question as to his will for you and as to how you need to walk. Let everything that it, other than the Lord alone in your life, fall away from you. The time has arrived that the judgments of the Lord by the poured forth vials has begun, and it will end when the world is reduced to nothing. It will end when the fires of his jealousy has burnt all that it can find consumable. For the true overcoming child of the Lord, the fire will find no hurt and no fuel. Instead, the child of the King will simply abide with Jesus, expecting until all his enemies are made his footstool. Such is the granted place for they who overcome in the kingdom of God. They can only rule, they can only reign, and that is because they know they are truly loved of Father. They have seen Christ in a mystery, and in seeing him, they saw the Father. And he saw them and did gaze upon them, and by that gaze, they were completely delivered. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.